The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Mick Norton, Lord John Budden and Luke Elder in the studio. We've got Market Racing and Warwick domestically and racing over in Ireland from Nace. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. Only a matter of days away now, Mick, from the Cheltenham Festival. We'll start by having a quick look ahead to those fantastic 4 days at Prestbury Park. And we'll start with the first day, the opening day, always an exciting day, the opening Tuesday. And,
absolutely.
Willie Mullins has got a pretty strong hand that day, hasn't he?
He certainly has. He's going to have a few favourites on the day, isn't he? And it might define the meeting for him, mightn't it?
It might, yes. Is there any of those in particular that you'd like to side with, Mick? On the first day?
Well, it looks as though he's going to run the Fav, and I think the backup horse is going to be Shane's Hill, isn't it? I think they're the two that are going to go for it for the Supreme. Mm-hmm. So, I'm quite a fan of Shane's Hill, actually, and he could well, if he brushes up his jumping, hit the frame, you know. I'm going to be a big follower of Giggins Town horses all week.
Yeah.
And if he just brushes up his jumping, they were putting him up as more of a type for one of the longer distance novices. But I don't mind the fact that he's got form over further and he's coming back. Because these races are won by stamina, aren't they? The Supreme Novice, they're won by stamina. And he's got that in speed. He is just going to have to brush up his jumping. And seeing as he looks like going for it, rather than their other one, Tellersmore, who I'm a great fan of, Tellersmore, if he just turn up, he would certainly be my each way angle into it. As you can see, I'm sort of not really getting involved with Duvan at the sort of likely price. I'm not going anywhere near any short price favourites all week, Mark. So my strategy is big priced placed horses.
Okay. Well, Duvan 6-4 at the top of that market.
Too short for me.
Okay. Lamy Serge 130, 15-2 for Jolly Allen. Nicholas Canyon 12s with Shane's Hill. QE is 14s and 16s or bigger. And it's a race that you can really afford to take the favourite on because we're offering a guaranteed return on the Supreme Novices Hurdle this year, Mick. Any loser, you get your money back.
So. Well, there you are. You can't say further than that, can you? There's interesting stats around the Supreme. Novice. One of the key trends is 16 of the last 18 runnings have been won by last time out winners. Which I mean, I know it doesn't eliminate many, but it is a key stat. Ireland have got a good record in the race. They've won 13 of the last 23. Four of the last 12 winners, Mark, finished in the top five in last season's Cheltenham Bumper, which is quite an interesting stat, isn't it? You know, the way to handle these races is to narrow them down, you know, isn't it? Get your shortlist and then start, you know, picking in on that. And there's plenty. There's an interesting negative stat. Only one of the last 20 winners hadn't run in the same calendar year. So if they haven't run in 2015, you can nearly put a line through them.
Right.
And just one horse to have raced on the flat has filled any of the win and place positions in the last 7 years. So weed out the flatties. Mm. They're not going to win it. You want staying types who've got the speed to cope with a furious gallop they go. But when push comes to shove, they've also got that as reserves of stamina. That's why it never bothers me, 2.5 mile horse. And that's why so many of the winners of the Supreme go on, you know, to be good chasers, isn't it? I think because they've got that built-in stamina.
Yeah, it's no bad thing when you come up that hill, is it? So,
and if you are in the favourites camp, only two of the last seven horses to have started at 2-1 or shorter have won.
Right. Well, there you go. So that's the first race. Let's talk about best bets for the whole festival, though, Mick. What would be your standout at the moment?
I don't know, really. I'm swaying towards Champagne Fever in the Champion Chase because the race is falling apart for me. And I think, you know, we know he's got a great record at the festival and look, arguably unlucky not to not to have been beaten. I suppose Don Pauly now has been confirmed for the RSA.
Hmm.
But I mean, he's going to be pretty short, and I did say I would stay away from the short price ones. So yeah, we'll have to find
5-2 Don Pauly.
Yeah, we'll have to find something something. One who do on the first day I do like, although his age is a bit off putting. If you're a stats man, is Wounded Warrior in the Toby Balding. I mean, King and Town have had rotten luck in this race, haven't they? Placed horses galore, jumped the last in front three times, I think, and failed to win it. And I think Nina's going to ride Wounded Warrior for Giggins Town in this, for Noel Mead. All the credentials, Wounded Warrior, except six-year-olds have a poor record in the race. That would be a little bit of a worry. Mm. But he's got some very strong credentials otherwise. And another horse I like, but he's got two serious dangers in the Mullins pair, Apache Stronghold. It was a four-time winner at this trip. I think this is the best. This is the race for Apache Stronghold. It's a four-times winner at the trip. The only other three times he's run at it, he was beaten by... He was second of Alcer de Lido, also second of Vateau. Both of whom, I think, are going to line up in the race. And the only other time he ran it 2.5 was when he was fourth behind Lieutenant Colonel. So, good horses that he's been beaten. He was outstayed by Down Polly when he stepped up to the grade one at Leopardstown over Christmas, but it was still a creditable run, going back to his best trip. He could well outrun his price and land each way support. Should be a double-figure price, I think, Apache Stronghold, isn't he?
11-2.
Is he as short as that?
The JLT looks like this. Vator is 2-1, 3-1 for Petty Zig. Apache Stronghold 11-2 with Valsa Lido, and then 16s barring those four.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I missed the boat there, I think. There are a few sort of kicking about that away from the big stables, if you like.
Mm.
I know it's from a big stable, but I quite like the look of if she goes for it, Parti Parisienne in the Triumph, getting the mare's allowance, and we had three fillies win the Triumph between 1993 and 2000. And she was a decent horse on the flat in France. You know, it's not a no-no to have been a decent flat performer to win the Triumph. I think she's got plenty of. If she goes, is she? What's she prominent in the betting?
She's 10-1, fourth favourite in the betting.
So. Is she? Mm. Yeah. Well, I think she could be. She could be interesting.
We've got a cracking Triumph this year, haven't we? By the looks of things, Peace and Co at the top of the market 5-2, Hargam 13-2, Belter 7s, Petit Parisienne and Top Notch both 10s, 14s or bigger, and there's plenty of other names in there you wouldn't completely rule out. So
absolutely, and the great thing about the about Hargam, if you like, is he's got the Cheltenham form.
Yeah,
Nicky Henderson's trained 5 Triumph winners, and Arga Cambred horses have a great record on the race, and Hargam fits all those key trends. So it's a really good Triumph as ever. Might be nearly as good as our Connors, I doubt it. So no, plenty to look forward to. Until I see the final runners, Mark, I'm just playing them out at the moment. Now the non-runner no bets have kicked in. I've had a few, but a lot of the horses I fancy are multiple entered.
Yeah, that's always a tricky part with it.
Exactly.
It?
So yeah. Wait and see, and the Gold Cup picture still. I've got to go with Lord Windermere because I backed him last year. I'm not seeing him win again, but I don't think he'll be far away. But plenty of bigger price horses, could hit the frame there. I'm sure there's going to be something at 50-1 in the frame.
Mm. Well, yeah, the Gold Cup is wide open. Silvagnaco Conti, 3-1 at the top of that market. 8-1 for Many Clouds. Road to Riches, 9s, 10s for Coney Gree, Jack Adam and Holywell. 11-1 for Carlingford Lock. 12s for Lord Windermere and 16s for Bobsworth and Smad Place and 20-1 our bigger prices.
Smad Place is a regular, isn't he, at the festival? And, you know, I'm not saying he maybe won't win it, but he could well hit the frame.
Yeah, he's one of my anti-post bets, Smad Place.
Is he?
I'd got on him probably about 2 months ago now when he was still 25-1.
Yeah.
Just because he loves the course, he always runs well there, and I thought he'd make up into a nice staying chase this year.
Absolutely, yeah. But that's the trouble with so many with multiple entries that you go around in circles. I quite like the look of Alan King's Ordo Abshaw in the Neptune. I think he's probably an underrated horse. He's got Cheltenham form. Although I think the weather forecast might be against him. Alan King's described him as a very big horse who hits the ground hard, so he wouldn't want it to dry out. And of course, at least he's got the old course, hasn't he? Which usually rides slower than the new course, isn't it? But he's another one that I'm keeping an eye on, see what conditions are like. But it's still very much up in the air for me with the doubts about who goes where in a lot of the races I'm interested in.
Okay. Well, plenty of food for thought there. We'll obviously revisit the festival on a number of occasions before Tuesday, but we must concentrate on matters a little bit closer to hand, and we'll get Mick's best bets for Thursday after this.
William Hill Racing Radio is all over Cheltenham. The best offers, live calls on every race, top pundits, guests live from our paddock side studio, and all the latest betting news. Cheltenham Festival 2015.
Very dramatic. There you go, the Cheltenham Festival 2015. It's all covered here on Racing Radio. Sunday's action is the next instalment as well, and Mick's picked out three races for us at Warwick. The first of them is the 2.10, and this is Connolly's Red Mills Handicap Hurdle. It's part of the Precision Nutrition Series. It's over 2 miles and 5 furlongs, and we've got a nice field of 13 of them here, Mick. So which one's on the shortlist?
Yeah, it should have a nice each way shape to it this race, shouldn't it? I'll go through them in race card order, and the first one we come to is number 2, Single Farm Payment, who's going to be the selection, trained by Tom Lacey. He's still likely to race this horse, open to further improvement after a solid handicap debut at Newbury in late December, and he's down 2 grades in class here. That was a class 2, and his handicap mark remains the same, 115. So I think that gives him outstanding claims, and he just fit the profile for this, because when you get into it, I know there are 13 runners. There aren't that many that you could really make a solid case for. Planetoid, if he picks up where he left off when we last saw him, he took his flat form to a new level when finishing second in a class 2 off 75. I think it was at Lingfield when he was last seen. The absent, if you look at his profile, is no problem. But do watch the market for Planetoid, because he does have his stamina to prove over this far, over hurdles. But that was certainly an improved form on the flat last time we saw him. And if he carries that forward to his hurdle race mark, he could be well handicapped. And the other one of interest is Definite Future. It was a useful bumper horse for Henry Daly, and has done well since joining Richard Lee, improving with each start, and made a winning handicap debut at Fontwell last month. £6 for a short head might seem harsh, but I think there's every likelihood that Richard Lee will be able to coax further improvement out of him, and I think he rates the danger to Single Farm Payment. But I do think Single Farm Payment might be good enough on that Newbury form to win this.
Okay, Single Farm Payment then for Mick in the 2.10. The 4.20 at Warwick is where we go next. This is a class 3 handicap chase over 3 miles and 5 furlongs. And again, a nice field size, 15 of them here.
Absolutely.
It's going to be quite a test this though, Mick.
It certainly is. There was a race at Bangor 30 days ago that might you know, have a part to play in this. The 1-2-3 reoppose. Barton Gift won it. Incentivise was second, and Clinton back in third. I do think Incentivise might be able to get his revenge on Barton Gift. He's been placed off higher in the past. Goes well here at Warwick, and he's actually he's in his best form for 2 years. This horse, a £6 better off with Barton Gift for 2.5 lengths, and they aren't claiming off Barton Gift either, where they did claim £3 off of him in Bangor that day, but they're not claiming off of him, so he's got every chance of turning it round. He's still on the shortlist though, Barton Gift. That was a good solid staying performance, showing a really determined attitude to beat off Incentivise. He went up 4 for that, he's just going to have to repeat and probably improve upon that. Paddy Brennan taking over in the saddle from Nico de Boinville aboard Barton Gift. And the other one to make the shortlist is last year's winner, Lock Alder. It was 2 from 4 here at Warwick. And he followed a similar profile into his prep run before landing this last year. Disappointed the run before coming here and winning, and then 16 days later he won this. So don't be put off by that disappointing run at Chepstow in January, because he's only following the same profile, if you like, and he's still £8 higher than when he won this last year, but a big run back at his happy hunting ground would be no surprise. So they're the three against the field: Incentivise, Barton Gift and Lock Alder, and the vote just go into Incentivise, who's in the best form he's been in for a long time.
Okay, Incentivise for making the 420 and the 450 at Warwick is where we finish. This is a conditional jockey's handicap hurdle, a class 4 event over 2 miles. Would you like that, Mick?
I'll go through them in race card order. Brave Helios comes here on the back of a really good run last time, a reproduction of that toast a second off of this mark 38 days ago. Would probably be good enough to land a weak form race, but just looking at his overall profile, it's not a given that he's going to back that up. So that would be a worry for me. I couldn't sort of put him up because he's so inconsistent. He doesn't always follow a good one with a good one. The dark horse of the race is undoubtedly War and Contrition, trained by the informed Charlie Longs and James Bestbeen's book to ride. Still likely racing open to improvement, and if his Irish bumper form is anything to go on, if he can cut out the mistakes, I think he's got a very reasonable looking mark here of 105. His jumping let him down last time, not for the first time. So he's going to have to brush up his jumping, but I think he's by far and away the most likely winner of this off 105 in a very, very weak profile race. The other one worthy of consideration is Lissio, who would be one of the better handicapped runners in this on his late 2014 form, and had a spin on the flat the other day, and a positive jockey booking for Jim Best, Sean Bowen. So just watch the market for Lissio. But on what we see and know, I think War and Contrition, if he can brush up his jumping, is the most likely winner off this mark.
And two starts ago, he finished third behind Bidderay at Leicester. That could get Franks in
absolutely
the Imperial Cup, couldn't it, on Saturday?
It could well do, couldn't it?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, even if Bidderay runs well in that off of that. What, 1-4 something, isn't he now?
1-40, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
For his handicap debut as well.
Exactly. So that was, you know, that piece of form alone would give War and Contrition a great chance in that, in a very, very weak-looking race.
OK, let's have a quick summary of the Mick, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, Warwick's 2.10. I like the look of single farm payment. Was down 2 grades in class and open to any amount of improvement. In the staying chase at 4.20, Incentivise is a course and distance winner, and in the form of his life at the age of 12, he'll take some beating in that. And in the 4.50, War and Contrition, who brings arguably the best form to the table off a very tasty-looking mark of 105. I hope he can win that if he brushes up his jumping.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much, Mick. Good luck, and you'll be in the studio on Sunday. So
I will.
Enjoy the day.
Yeah, keep an eye on them, Mark.
Yeah. Good stuff. There you go. That's the thoughts of Mick Norton on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. He'll be in the studio with John Budden and Luke Elder. We've got market racing in Warwick domestically and action over in Nace. It's Leinster National Day over in Ireland. So tune in to hear all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.